Reverend Irvin, I'm so happy to greet you and say hello to you in the name of Jesus Christ and to thank you for permitting our visitors to come and to thank them for their willingness to share with you through this cassette. Without fail, when I have opportunity to visit with them, they tell me how rich their lives are because of you and this time that they spend with you each week. So we're very happy about that, and we know that the Lord is good to us, and he sends his grace, his blessings in many ways. And we have a two-way blessing working here between you and your visitor. We praise God for that. During these beautiful fall days, when mornings particularly are crisp and we're able to see the color of the changing season, the leaves, we're reminded once again of how marvelously God has planned for his creation. He clothes the trees, plants in such beauty, takes care of them. We in faith can know and trust that he'll take care of us. And so we pray, and I hope that he's been close to you this week and that his blessings have been very real to you. I'm not gonna let you come up this morning. You're all ready. Now it's time for our boys and girls to come. I'd like to invite them for a few moments. Great. I want this corner this morning, though. Okay? All of you out there, you don't have to have a blue robe on to come up. You can slip right up here, and we'll just see if we can have a few minutes together. Ah, yes, here comes one more. We'll wait just a second for it. Hi, Jill. How are you? That's good. Come late and get the front row seat. That's kind of the way it is with the adults at church, isn't it? This morning I'm going to speak to you, the adults, and to you, again, about the Spirit. Now, a few months ago, I told you a little about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and I want to tell you a little about it this morning. Perhaps the same thing, but sometimes we need to be reminded of things. The Holy Spirit is something we can't see, we can't touch, and yet the Bible tells us that it's a very, very important part and a very real part of God. Well, for that matter, we can't see God, can we? Have any of you ever seen God? I haven't either. Not, you know, like I see you right now. But where is one person that we can see what God is like? Who's one person that we can see what God is like? You know?
Yeah.
Yes? Jesus, yes. See, Jesus came as God in human form to show us what God is like. But God's always with us, too, in what we call the Holy Spirit. We can't see it, but kind of like the wind, we can see what it does, can't we? The Spirit does. Did you ever have a little feeling of, guilt in your conscience when you did something wrong? Maybe your mother told you to do something, you didn't do it? That's probably the Holy Spirit kind of blowing up against you a little. And did you ever have a new idea? Did something ever just pop into your mind and you say, gee, there's a wonderful new idea? Well, that was probably the Holy Spirit blowing on you. You're right. So, just as take a windmill, and the wind, which you can't see, makes a turn, so the Spirit often blows upon a person's life. Now, I don't know if this works very well or not, but this is a good windmill because it turns. Now, if I blow over here, why, it turns itself right into the Spirit, see? Maybe that's that's what Christians ought to do. Turn themselves toward the Spirit so that the Spirit can talk to them. Thank you for coming this morning. Eternal God, whose creative power has placed every created thing in your debt, whose mighty hand holds sway over the galaxies and the planets, the nations and the peoples, we are awed and hushed as we approach you in worship. The thought that you care for us is more than we can understand, yet you have told us of your love and concern. So without any merit of our own, we seek fellowship with you in this hour of praise. Enable us to thank you, place in our thoughts and in our minds the greatness of the blessings which are ours, the bounties of the good earth which enable us to live day by day, for those sensory powers which bring us the joy of knowing and feeling and loving, for the ideals and the dreams which lift us, and for the Christ who has redeemed us, for all of that and more. Enable us to seek constantly the assurance of your presence with each of us individually. Let us be concerned about our relationship to Jesus Christ and permit the wind of his Spirit to blow upon us. Cause us to, with honesty, examine ourselves in the light and purity of the purity and the wholeness of Christ. In these days of need, enable us to be ministers of the gospel wherever we look, O God, there is need. Your children are hungry. Race rises up against race. People are crushed by impersonal structures and forces. And the voice of faith often seems faint, and the balm of healing love is often lacking. Put us to work so that we will surely know that you are working in our world. Now, our Father, we intercede on behalf of the downtrodden and the hungry, the ill and the defeated, the struggling and the tempted, the lonely and the sorrowing. Especially this morning we remember those who have suffered loss and who are bereaved. Dedicate us to the ends for which we pray, and may our energies become aids in answering the petitions which our lips voice and our hearts compel. Listen now as we wait before you in silence. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. One of the symbols of our past, still pretty much with us, is the windmill. And I guess there is some anticipation now that the windmill may well be an energy savior for the future. I have some fascination, I guess, with windmills, because as I drive through the countryside, I think not one of them escapes my glance. And I kind of get sad when I see them falling down, the fan with parts gone, blades gone. And I guess I have to recognize that that particular style of windmill is perhaps gone forever. Now, in seeking insights into understanding the Spirit, consider that Jesus asked Nicodemus, "If I had told you earthly things, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Now, I want to share with you my windmill image, an earthly one, but I think it helps me understand myself, the people around me, and I think it helps me understand in some ways how the Spirit moves among us. And maybe it'll help you too. Let us note just briefly that in the scriptures, the Greek word for wind and spirit is the same one. And I've wondered how to express the sense of the Spirit in the language of the world. And it may be that the windmill image will not do it completely, but move in that direction. Note some things about the windmills. They're solidly constructed. Most of them in our area are made of heavy angle iron rooted firmly into a foundation of concrete. They're set in a particular place. They're built that so that when the winds blow, they will not collapse or tip over. Second thing we note about a windmill, is that even though it can't go anyplace, it has the ability to turn its top all the way around. It can't change its location, but it can change its orientation. And it can catch the wind from every direction. Third, windmills have great fans that are light and strong, reaching out into the wind. In most windmills, there is a braking device that overcomes the power of the wind so that it will no longer run. The fourth thing to note about windmills is that they are made for a specific purpose. In our area, that purpose mostly was to pump water and sometimes to generate electricity. In other areas, in Holland, for example, windmills are used for such things as grinding grain. These four things set me to thinking about how it is that we, who are rooted in the earth with some real limits on our ability to move, to change, and to grow, can attune our lives to catch the winds of the Spirit as they blow. Think with me about these four things and how they relate to your life and to mine. First of all, about the business of being built well and set in one place. Praise God if you are firmly anchored where He wants you to be. But not everyone is where God wants them to be. There are some here this morning who are not where they ought to be in life. They need probably to make some choices, perhaps radical ones, and become anchored where God intends for them to be, and to be anchored where the wind of the Spirit can blow fully upon them. Now, once finding the place where God's will intends for us to be, then we must learn to wait patiently for whatever winds of the Spirit may come. God's Spirit will come whether you are where you are, ought to be or not. But how much more, though, when you are rooted and firmly set where He wants you to be. God's Spirit comes to you where you are to empower you here and now for what you are to do and to be. Now, once we are set down in a particular place, whether it be a permanent one or a temporary place in our pilgrimage to where we really belong, we can turn ourselves in all directions to catch the wind from whatever direction it blows. We can learn, for example, that once we put our roots down where we really belong, that we're open to a lot of new things. For instance, we can learn a lot from people that we never took too seriously before. We can learn a lot from children, from the neighbors, from the uneducated, from the starving of the world. We can can even learn from those who disagree with us. And we can pray with and for others until they cease to be them and they become us. Now, we might not see ourselves as stiff and prejudiced, but every person I know has an area or areas where he has a stiff neck and where he wears blinders. And there are directions in which people never look. But we are free to turn in all directions, to taste the fresh breeze of many winds of doctrine, and sense the Spirit in them, and grow mightily into Christ-likeness. Now, these two parts of the windmill go together when we are rooted and grounded where God wants us to be. Then we have a basis from which to appreciate a wide variety of perspectives. Then, when we look around us and try to see what God seems to be doing among us in different ways, we can take seriously who we are and where we are. But we also will try to look and to listen, to be open to influences that once seemed strange. Curiously enough, we can become more and more open and less defensive. And I take this to be a gift of the Spirit. And then, third, there is the ability to take the break off when the wind is slight and to put it on when the wind is brisk. But just as a windmill cannot turn by itself, we must wait. We must wait for the Spirit, the wind of the Spirit. And yet, I suspect that there's more of the Spirit blowing in our lives than we're aware of. We in the church have a real tendency to keep the brakes clamped pretty strongly on and hang on. We ought to discover that with our dedication and commitment, we need to take on as much as we can, as much as we can handle, and a little bit more. We need to strain and stretch a little. Instead of tightening the brake of our personal windmill of faith, let us release it, a little at least, and let the Spirit flow in new and creative ways. But that will mean the willingness to risk and the willingness to engage in spiritual disciplines of various sorts. Sometimes there will be more than we can handle. Sometimes there will be more of the Spirit than we can handle. And we can put the brakes on, but the Spirit will still blow. Most days, though, the wind does not gust, nor is it calm. It just blows. And God's Spirit moves. God's presence and power come in ways which we have experienced and in ways which we expect. But it comes also in unexpected ways. I guess it's important for us to know that we can make adjustments in our lives in relation to the Spirit, just as a windmill can adjust to the wind. We can learn how to adjust the brakes, how to reach out for more wind, how to catch some we didn't feel before, and as a result, we can feel new strengths moving within us. Now, fourth, each windmill is set in a particular place to perform a particular function. Now, once we find our place, and as I have noted, not everyone has found his place, even if he's 70, or 50, or 30, or 25, let alone at 16. Once we find our place, we will grow in grace and our understanding of the Christian life. To be more aware of the Spirit, we will find specific confirmation of God's will for our lives that matches our gifts and graces. Now, when we arrive at where God wants us to be and seek to do what He wants us to do, then we receive the power to do it. Chances are you shall not receive the power to do something that is not intended for you to do, particularly if you're in the wrong place. The life which Jesus called the abundant life is ours when we at last discover where we belong, what our gifts are, and what God wants us to do with those gifts. Now there will be times when we want to be another windmill in another place. I look around, though, from my windmill position, and I see other windmills, many of you pumping your water in your place, or charging electricity, or perhaps grinding grain. I look and I see that other windmills are turning, and the Spirit is moving us all. And maybe someday we'll know that the wind is blowing. It is as mysterious now as it was when Jesus said to Nicodemus, "The wind blows where it will. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know from whence it comes or whither it goeth." So it is with the Spirit. So consider the windmill. Without wind, it's a lifeless machine, sitting idly in its place. It has great potential and power. Then the wind comes with power. It does not change the nature of the windmill, but it empowers it for useful work. And so consider yourself. Wait for the, without the Spirit, you have no potential, or you're all potential, but with no power. You wait for the Spirit. Then the Spirit moves. It doesn't change your nature. It affirms you for who you are, empowers you for the work of the kingdom. We don't know from whence it comes or where it goes, but we can be certain that as we wait for the Spirit, as the windmill waits for the wind, as we make ourselves servants of the Spirit, we shall be empowered to do what God has for us to do with our lives. And that's enough for now. Let us pray. O Lord, our Father, help us to open our spirits and our lives to your Spirit when it blows. Forgive us our insensitiveness to that Spirit, but now let it blow upon us, transform us, and lead us to the abundant life. In Christ's name, amen.